Now, what we're going to do now is bring in some additional folks here. We're going to bring in Selena Ling. Selena, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you with us. And we're going to bring in Holly. And I apologize, I don't have Holly's name right up there. But Holly, Magalango.
Yes.
Yeah, Holly Magalango is going to join us on phone. Holly, welcome to the Conservative Voice on WWDB AM 860.
Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you. Now, we've got another person in the room. And who do we...
Oh, it's my daughter, Liliana. She is on our girls' wrestling team at Cumberland Valley. She's one of the starters on varsity.
On what sport?
Girls' wrestling.
Wow. So I have a sort of a cousin that's been in girls' wrestling, and it's been incredible because it's something that I wasn't actually very familiar with. But now that sport in this topic becomes even more... wait a minute. You just introduced a whole bunch of crazy... So, Liliana, welcome to the Conservative Voice.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So, listen, you know, what we would like to do, we talk about this issue of boys and girls sports or biological males and boys sports, whatever euphemism we're supposed to use. The reality is we don't often hear the real stories of the individuals who have been affected. And so I'm wondering if you could maybe just tell us a little bit about, you know, like, how did you get here? When did this become a big deal? And then maybe, Liliana, you can tell us a little bit about your specific story.
Well, so Lily's been wrestling for about 6 years. And we recently became a sanctioned sport back in 2023. Hmm. So it has taken a long time for us to be recognized as a sanctioned sport. Back when Liliana was about 10, she started out wrestling boys because that's all we had. Now, as she became older, it became very uncomfortable for her to start wrestling boys. Her dad was not a big fan of it. They are stronger.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even though they wrestle at the same weight, boys are physically different than girls. So her coach decided, you know, his daughter's been wrestling since kindergarten, so it was a much longer time than Lily. He took a group of us before it became a sanctioned sport, and he would go out and find tournaments that were specific for girls. So we would go and we would wrestle. Sometimes she, in seventh grade, was wrestling senior girls in high school.
Wow.
When that was very tough, she would get very discouraged.
yeah.
She's wrestling adult women, but if they were her same weight, that's all she had. So, she, you know, that was a very tough time for her. You know, we're just like, wait, there's going to be more girls. Once we get it sanctioned, it's going to, you know, it's going to explode. And it did. I mean, we are getting, it's doubling. The numbers are doubling every year. Finally, we got 100 teams. I think it was back, it took 2 years and 11 months from us to go from the first team to 100 teams. So we had to have 100 teams, even have a girls wrestling team. So, you know, our biggest fear, and Lily and I have talked about this, you don't know who you're going to wrestle until you're on the mat. It's literally 30 seconds on. You come to the middle and you meet. Now, she has not yet met a boy on the opponent's side, but there has been a boy from a different school that has wrestled in different tournaments, and that has created some issues. Two girls have been carried off the mat and have not returned back on that tournament, and I think the one girl had a career injury that she had to go out the rest of the year.
Wow.
Which we see over and over.
Yes,
we see
exactly.
that over and over. We see it with volleyball accidents. Mm-hmm. We see it anytime there is any kind of direct conflict between the players. There are injuries, and they end careers for children.
Do.
Yep, it's wild.
Well, I mean, I just can't imagine being, you know, female and, you know, going out to compete with somebody who was born Bruno and is now Brunhilde. I mean, I just couldn't possibly, you know, I mean, I wrestled a little bit in high school, and I remember the one dude who was really strong and didn't smell real good. And, you know, it was just a much closer proximity that I was really interested in. And when I think about that with girls and boys together on, it just doesn't work. My brother was a wrestler for a long time, and I used to go to those tournaments. And it was a tough sport to watch.
It is.
Because I more than once I found myself getting up because I was going in. I'm like, wait a minute, you're not doing that to my brother. I'm going in. And I had to stop and retreat. This is, you know, not a sport where you want to be facing off like that. So Lily, what's it like for the girls that you've known and that are in this sport? Like, what's it been like?
It's honestly like really fun. You get to like have new friends and everyone gets along with each other. So it's like a whole family.
Yeah, I was surprised to see girls wrestling become a thing because it just had never been and it hadn't occurred to me and whatever. But but I have a family member who did and she loved it. She absolutely loved it. And the same problems you mentioned are problems she had, right? There were just not many competitors.
Yeah.
So when you went to a tournament, you might be, you know, facing someone with dramatically different characteristics. And we know wrestlers, for those that don't know, I mean, they cut weight. Like, so the guys will cut weight. They'll stop eating and drinking, and they have all these techniques to cut weight so that they can wrestle at a lower weight against somebody who's weaker. Now, you know, I don't know how that works when you're facing off against a guy. So the girls that you've met who have faced guys on the mat, what do they say? What do they do when they walk up there?
Well, they say they're a lot stronger and they have more
muscle.
Yeah.
Their body strength.
Yeah, yes. They're like way better. It's just...
Yeah, well, they're more mass, heavier bones. I mean, this is all scientific. It's not... So if there's a competitor who's biologically male but just wakes up one day and says, you know, I want to wrestle as a female, what do they have to do to get approved to do that?
Well, so I have talked to her wrestling coach about this because I am the president of the Girls Wrestling Booster Club. So that's been like one of my biggest fears. What do we do if a boy tries to join the team? He did tell me that according to the PIAA, whatever they are registered in our Schoology is what they will have to wrestle. But then as I started looking into it, it's up to the discretion of the principal.
Yeah.
Ah.
And I am not comfortable with that at all. I mean, I've talked to Liliana. What are we going to do? You walk out on the mat. Are you going to take a forfeit? And then that counts at the end of the year in her seating when it comes to like sectionals and districts of where she stands and who she wrestles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so she didn't even get a chance. She's automatically just going to bow out and be like, no, because I don't want her getting hurt. Like,
oh, no.
She would get hurt. She actually is just recovering now from a torn labrum, just wrestling a senior last year, and she was a freshman. And that was another girl. But this girl was just, I mean, she was very muscular, an adult woman compared to a freshman.
Right.
We're all developing different. And I just can't imagine putting, because she could come up with against a male senior.
Yep.
She would be destroyed. It would be terrible.
Wow.
And we've seen it with people like Riley Gaines and others, Paula Scanlon, who have, you know, kind of put their own reputations on the line to come out and say, this isn't fair. This isn't right. This is not something that we should be experiencing. And here we are again with young women being forced to take a stance that they will, I have to imagine the peer pressure to be accepting or to not say anything or to be polite and friendly and just go along to get along is so overwhelming. I have sons. I have a grown daughter. She's a mother herself. And I saw her go through college and grad school and play that game, the getting along, the staying quiet, the not expressing yourself, just to get by in the world. And when you have young women experiencing that, it is unbelievable. It is absolutely unacceptable. And when it does come down to just a principal, so you have one woke principal who's okay with this and wants to go along with it, the rest of the females suffer. Yeah. And whether that's athletically, whether that's in the bathrooms where we have seen documented sexual assaults and parents arrested for going to school board meetings for calling it out, we have seen just such deplorable behavior across the board in chasing an ideology that is harmful to our children. It's harmful.
It is. Absolutely.
So we also have on the air or on the line, we have Holly, another mother who also, I think, has a child that was in sports. Holly, welcome to, again, the Conservative Voice. I know you've been listening to this. Tell us a little about your point of view. What are your thoughts?
I'm completely aligned with everything everyone is saying so far. And I guess I should give a little bit of my background. So we are in Quakertown, which is in Bucks County. I have four daughters and I'm a wife and, you know, try to raise your daughters, your children, with hard work, resilience, you know, dedication to God, school, and athletics. Well, over the past year, I think we're really learning that this isn't enough when it comes to fair competition for our daughters. A little over a year ago, on September 11th, my daughter, Island, she was a senior at the time at Quakertown Community High School.
Mm-hmm.
And she was participating in a cross-country meet against Plymouth White Marsh High School. And I had recently started a new job, so I was unable to attend this event. And she left, came back, got a call a little while later, and she's crying. And, you know, raised my daughters to be very tough and resilient. So as a mother, right away, the worst case scenario jumps into your mind, you know, injury, car accident.
Yeah.
But she went on to explain that she came in second at the cross-country event. And I was like, well, that's really good. So for those of you who, you know, don't know that much about cross-country, you're talking a lot of competitors, and it's a lot more than a typical track meet. So I told her, hey, second's great. You know, that's really good. But then she went on to explain she came in second to a boy. So as my daughter, I guess, raced against him, you know, she kept neck and neck most of the race.
Mm-hmm.
And a typical high school cross-country meet is a 5K, 3.1 miles. And he blew her away in the last moments of the race, taking first. And his time was 21 minutes and 54 seconds, and hers was 22 minutes. And 15 seconds, so a difference of 21 seconds.
21 seconds in a race.
In a cross country, but he just literally at the end just blew her away. It took no effort after that long of a race.
Yeah. What is a typical difference between first and second place in a race like that?
Typical? I mean, it could vary, mm-hmm. but usually you have people coming in sort of right after each other because it's a long, grueling race, and they typically, you know, run in pockets together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was bad enough, I guess, the fact that, you know, she came in second to a biological male. But the problem was when they were racing neck and neck, she looked at him and she said, "You are not a girl. You should not be racing against girls." So that then, you know, was met by a threat from the Plymouth White Marsh coaches. And they approached her after the meet. You know, they said that they would be reaching out to the Quakertown athletic director. So I was very concerned. But I think this comes back to what you were just talking about trying to silence the girls. Basically, it's an intimidation tactic so they don't speak up. After that happened, I reached out to a friend of mine who served on a different school board. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, do I need to be concerned here? And after discussing with her, I went on the offense, and I sent a letter to the school, to the athletic director, the coaches, the administration, asking, you know, what are you going to do to protect my daughter from racing against biological males? And the next morning, it was like a Friday morning, I found a civil rights attorney to defend her against being punished for speaking a biological truth, because at that point, I really thought she was going to get in trouble. And she's a straight A student. She lives for track. And I retained Kay Altman attorneys. They're civil rights attorneys out of Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And with the PIAA at the time, you know, like we talked about that a little bit earlier. I heard them talking about it. You know, this was prior to Trump's executive order. Now, I think the PIAA in February, they've adjusted their rules. They voted to adjust them slightly. So the only difference is they leave it up to the school and they recommend, you know, speak with their counsel.
Now, what's the PIAA?
So each school still gets to make these decisions.
Mm-hmm. What is the PIAA?
The Pennsylvania Interscholastic League. So basically they run the rules and the laws for the sanctioned sports.
Mm-hmm. And because this is a sanctioned sport, then they set the rules, and then they have said, well, we're going to delegate this specific decision off to individual principals. So if you've got a principal that has, you know, an ideology of one kind or another, it can really have changed the makeup of your team. That's That's interesting. So, but you went out and got civil rights attorneys? I mean, so they're going to bring like the full weight of whatever, the school's bureaucracy and pressure upon this student because she said something that is said every day all over the country that probably it makes sense that biological males not be competing in female sports, right? I mean, they were going to go heavy on her. I mean, this is crazy.
And they didn't then. And I don't know. I question that. I question if it's because we brought in the attorneys as soon as we did. Now, the lawsuit was filed in January, so it wasn't filed until January, and it is still active. But, you know, I don't think that fairness for women's sports and spaces should ever be decided by a local principal or a school district's legal team. You know, it should be an enshrined right for all girls. This goes back to Title IX. So we're going backwards instead of forward right now.
Well, I think there was a time when a principal could actually be counted on to make decisions like that, and it would have been fine. It's this new world where this ideology is just swept through academia, swept through our K-12 system, and where these schools now seem to be more focused on pressing this ideology than anything else. We've said many times, we've talked about this story where, you know, I think, Ada, you were at this event I was at a couple of years ago at a middle school. And we walk in and there are these two floor-to-ceiling banners about sexuality. And
then we go
over, and as we walk through the school hallways, every bulletin board had some kind of a sexually oriented thing. And then each door in this school had a little flag of one kind or another.
Ally.
All of them. Yeah, all Safe focused space. On sexuality.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute, don't they have anything here about math? Aren't they? Where's the science poster? You know, can we get a science poster in here? The entire building was adorned and filled with sexuality oriented propaganda.
Well, and we're in a place here in Pennsylvania where we also have the Human Rights Campaign, the Human Rights Coalition. We have bureaucrats who have created, you know, panels who make these decisions on their own without input from rational human beings or care for how it affects the children who, you know, have to live with what they implement. I know there's a lawsuit right now against this, you know, the way the state went about creating this coalition. So, you know, you have this fight in the local level at high schools or in grade schools or middle schools. You then go up to the college level. You have the fight at the collegiate level. And then you get into adulthood and you have this whole human rights coalition, these boards that will tell us that we're transphobic and wrong and horrible because we don't want men in our private spaces. I call it mansplaining femininity to me because I don't need a man to tell me what it is to be a female. But that's what it is. That's what we're witnessing.
Well, to be fair, I really don't want men in my private spaces either. I'm just saying, right? It's like, you know, it's kind of universal, I think. So, but so what's happening now in Pennsylvania is that there are three bills, I think one in the Senate, two in the House, that have been put forward to address this issue. And as I understand it, because, you know, trying to track these bills is tough, it seems like they're caught in an eddy current, if you will, like in a stream, like where they just circle around. They're caught in a spiral where they're just never going to get out and get addressed, get to the floor and get looked at. What's going on with these bills?
They just keep getting pushed around. I know Barb Gleim has been a huge advocate to keep our girls' spaces safe. And she said once they have to sit for a certain amount of time and then they end up getting pushed off. So then they have to revisit it. They have to they have to come up with new verbiage then in order to introduce it. So it's a game.
If the session ends while that legislation is still pending, they have to rewrite the legislation to reintroduce in the next session. So they're just playing that game to run the clock out.
So and this, of course, the Pennsylvania House is run by Democrats. They seized control of that a couple of years ago.
We gave it away.
Well, gave it away, stolen. It was a combination of efforts, I think.
Agree.
But they're the ones that sit on these committee chair positions that control what gets in and doesn't get in, or rather gets out of these committees and doesn't, what gets considered by the committees. So who's doing this? Like, who is sitting on these bills?
I mean, honestly, I'm not sure. I just know that Barb said it's just you have to call your legislators. You have to be involved. Parents have to be calling into whoever represents them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is Democratic ran. So but we need people to show up at their offices and be loud.
Well, I think the House Majority Leader's name is Matt Bradford.
Yes.
That would be a Democrat who would probably be able to influence whether or not these bills get out of committee or don't get out of committee. So
And this is a bipartisan supported issue. This is not a conservative only concern there. I know lots of Democrats who are very concerned mm-hmm. for the safety of their daughters. It's not political at all. It shouldn't be.
But, no. So what's the polling say?
Oh, the polling, overwhelming support for keeping boys out of girls' sports.
Yeah.
Overwhelming.
You're not just guessing.
No.
You know, I mean, the real polling, yes. the actual accurate polling shows this as an extraordinarily supermajority issue. And yet the Democrat, and I suppose it's this Matt Bradford, are sitting on this and making sure that it never gets out to the floor.
Well, the women, too. The women, our Democrats in the House are... they're just confused, maybe, or just too ideologically bent to take a stand and face the backlash. Sure, you're going to get backlash, but isn't it worth it? Isn't protecting our girls worth it?
Right. I mean, yeah, they're definitely, they're radical. I mean, and so here's what I think folks can do. There is a call to action that's going to be put out there. There are two things happening. One is a petition that's going out that folks can sign. And we're going to have that out in our social media. We're going to have it on our website. You can go to KeystoneTownHall.com and look at calls to action, and you'll find it there. And then we've got a call to action that kind of lays out the bills. It turns out one is Senate Bill 9, House Bill 1849, and House Bill 158. And these are the ones just bouncing from committee to committee, so they never actually see the light of day. And if you call your representative and maybe call this Bradford and say, listen, we want to see these bills hit the floor. Just looking at a poll now, it's like 75%. It is literally a supermajority of Americans that support preserving these spaces for girls, that they ought not be competing with boys and certainly not in wrestling. And then you've got, you've got even the IOC. So this was two weeks ago, where the International Olympic Committee came out and announced that they're going to ban biological males in female competition starting in February. Now, for them, that is a huge reversal because they've been one of the major drivers of this, being part of this whole globalist cabal. So so it's important that if parents really want to protect their kids, and specifically the mental health of their kids, you know, we hear about mental health all the time from these educators and radical leftists. Think of the mental health implications of a child that goes out and all of a sudden is facing, you know, someone that's much denser, bigger, stronger, and they've got to compete with them in a sport. It's just not fair. Now, we've got about a minute left. Again, go to KeystoneTownHall.com and you can find some of these. You'll find them in our social media. What other groups are going to be pushing this petition?
I know Moms for Liberty is one. They're a huge advocate for our girls and common sense. I mean, and getting your parental rights back. So, I mean, it's a common sense issue.
So check with your local Moms for Liberty chapter. And so, Lily, I mean, are these bills a good idea? I mean, would this make the girls in school feel better? I mean,
oh yeah, they feel way better.
Yeah, so it really is quite a challenge to start in whatever sport and start facing this. That's the whole reason we have girls and boys sports. I mean, it's not like it's a new concept, right? I mean, so all right. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the Conservative Voice. This has been an interesting discussion, not a new discussion, but an interesting discussion. And we'll be back in just about 4 minutes with the next segment. And we'll be talking to Stacey Garrity, who is the Republican candidate for governor in Pennsylvania. Thank you, ladies, for joining us here today.
Thank you.